You're listening to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Welcome to The Drive Home with Casey and Blair, where we give our unfiltered first impressions of the films we just watched at the movies and record our discussion on The Drive Home. Opinions change over time, and working in the film industry, none of these critiques are meant to be personal, but rather a reaction. Thank you for listening.
Hello, it is, fourth. Do you know what it is? Well, yeah, 3rd or 4th of April. One of those two. 2019, and we just saw, I was going to say Ms. Marvel, but it's Captain Marvel.
What are you calling it,
though? I call it Ms. Marvel because of the Ms. Marvel from the comic books, which confuses me with this character a little bit because...
And I keep calling it Ms. Marvel because of the marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
So we both have our both tendencies for doing this. It's cold.
Yeah.
It is.
Rainy.
It's been like this all day long. So we saw Ms. Marvel. Captain Marvel. And it's taken a while for us to see this because Blair couldn't see it before the others.
I had to catch up on all the other Avengerverse movies at home.
Which we did. Which we were finally able to do. Where's my car? It should be right here, isn't it? No, it's one over. So Blair... Oh, wow. Really old. Blair had to see all the other pieces before she could see this one. And,
I have now.
And now you have. And I have 15 minutes.
Except I still haven't seen Doctor Strange. She's the only one.
Here you go. So Doctor Strange, we'll see that one because actually, in a lot of ways, I have my gripes about Doctor Strange are the same about this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I think... the hardest part about this was that I was very lost for most of it until, which I guess is kind of, they want you to be, you know, empathetic with the character, and the character's lost, like she doesn't know her backstory, but like I just needed a little bit more she's comfortable with the planet she's on information. Like I just wanted to know like what her daily life is on the planet a little bit more.
Yeah, that honestly I think is probably the beginning of the film is the weakest.
Yes.
Like the controlling of emotions and like the way that they establish everything through the training, I think is like one of the most stereotypical, like, oh, let's put her in a fight sequence so you can see what she can do first in terms of like the sparring thing. I don't know. To me, that just in the dialogue of Jude Law and her at that point was just awful. Like it was very carbon cutouts of like, well, this is what we have to have them say and do in order to establish this, this, and this. So, yeah, I wasn't too enthralled with that opening sequence. And the fact that, like, yeah, you said, like, we're completely confused at what actually is going on here.
Yeah, and, like, why are some of the people of your race a different color?
Yeah, and why are you bleeding blue in the beginning, but you weren't later in the flashback?
Right.
Because it's like an overlap.
Did they change your memories, or...?
They like, changed the memories. Like, that didn't make sense because they don't have the ability or power to change the memories. So why is the memories being distorted? It's basically like, oh, we want the audience to be confused.
Yeah.
We don't want the audience to know that she's actually human until we're ready to. And even then, they were like... They shoehorned in the fitting of, like, oh yeah, we replaced her with Kree blood. Like, we got that, like, so far into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is very sloppy in layout.
I think it was all because of, like you said, they wanted us to be confused, and they just did too good of a job because it was like, this doesn't mean who's the bad guy? What's going on? Who's a Kree? What's happening?
Yeah.
And like the bad guy for most of the film wasn't the bad guy. And it seems
we've
seen that
so
many
times,
but it seems like so much of this would have been solved by a conversation that they could have had a lot sooner. Like all they needed to do was have one guy talk to Lady McMarvel And if he had done that when he had her captive, everything would have changed. So, like, why didn't they just talk to her from the beginning instead of, like,
hey, we finally
down.
Got you. We got you away from... Because they played the card that they didn't even truly know who she was or why she was for that reason. Which is, like, okay, convenience. Convenience of plot.
Yeah, but they could have, like... I don't know, stopped hitting her and been like... Wait, we have some information about your past. Like, that seems to be what's upsetting you.
Yeah. Yeah, my...
We got the black box information. Like, it's, I don't know. And also the whole thing where it's like, they went through all of this work to find the coordinates of this space station when it seemed really obvious to... They were like... Oh, yeah, it's in outer space or whatever.
It's in orbit.
It's in orbit.
And my science officer couldn't figure it out. And, yeah, I was like, oh.
It's like, that was a lot of work to just figure that out.
And
there were just, like, a lot of
Well, here's the thing. Can I... I'm gonna say something that's actually gonna, like, make some people mad, and that's fine. Is I... Because this movie is meant to be, like, a she-power woman movie. And I think that's why they did that choice there, too, is, oh, we were smarter than your alien technical officer or whatever.
I think you're overthinking it. I think it was literally just they needed to have, like, well, why couldn't they have figured it out if it was that simple?
Well, both women figured it out because they were on Earth and they knew what the system it was and the Air Force, blah, 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 blah. But Fury didn't know, but, you know.
Well, he's not in that field.
True. Oh, so I'll give him that. But what I'm saying is, like, every opportunity they did, or they could drive that point home, they did.
Okay. Well, I didn't catch that. And I think that it was... I mean, I liked all of the female power. I think that it's necessary.
I liked... What I did like was when they did the flashback thing, when she was telling... All the times that she was told that she couldn't do something, I was like, okay, cool. That is a really good theme. It has a good female empowerment theme. I like that. I mean, that worked for the character. I just, like... The diving into the comic book part of it, I don't like how she got her powers. And her powers are... This is why I didn't like Doctor Strange. They're limitless and undefined. They're like, oh, it's pure energy. What does that mean? That means it's convenient to you to use it wherever and whenever you want.
I kept wondering if she was going to run out.
Yeah, there's no... So this is also the problem I had with Harry Potter, is there's no possible... Like, there's no conservation of energy. She doesn't get her energy from anywhere. It just comes from inside her. So she herself is like her own little fusion generator. And I'm like, So there's no consequences to any of her actions. So she's just a limitless badass. And I'm like, oh, God, we got another Superman case on our hands. Which I don't think is a very good structure or element to have for motivating a
superhero. Superman is solar-powered.
Superman is solar-powered. This person's... Okay, yeah, so Superman gets his power from the sun. Where does she get her power from?
Well, that's what I'm... Like the you could see in the thing she absorbed, it contained a certain amount. So I'm wondering, like, is she exerting a certain amount every time she moves, and eventually she will run out?
Yeah. There's no... That's the problem I had with Doctor Strange, is everything is so mysticism, like, created to do what the intention is, rather than there's no consequences for any of the actions or costs for what they do. Like, it's just willy-nilly, I have powers, I can do whatever, which doesn't make very interesting storytellers, especially when you have, like, all these various superheroes. There's got to be, like, you have to put real, true restrictions on it to make it work.
What? Like, and all of a sudden she could breathe in space.
Yeah. Which she wore her helmet all the other times before. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, is that because of her Kree blood? So Kree can breathe in space too? Or, because the Kree blood is supposed to be, like, super magical and can bring people back almost from the verge of death or back to life. Blah, blah, blah.
How did she get her powers in the comic books?
I don't know, to be honest.
Is her professor smoking a pipe? That's amazing.
It actually does happen. And he had like a tweed jacket.
He had a tweed jacket on. It didn't have the elbow patches though.
And here I am. I'm like a professor, like barely making it 5 minutes before class.
Do you want my wife's
jacket? I got my jacket right down.
Oh, okay.
Oh, trust me, I'm gonna freeze when I get out. And I have a sandwich in my bag to feed me, so I guess I'm prepared. But overall, I mean, this was a movie. It was a decent movie. Had a decent arc. I thought that the I'm just a girl moment for No Doubt was way over the top.
Oh, I liked it.
You
have not grown up a woman. You don't know what it's like. You can't attest to having the feeling of without being told you're not allowed or you can't do this. Being told you're not allowed and you can't do this everywhere, all the time.
Sure.
I mean, just look at the Avengers poster, the new one, the Endgame. It's like all the women are in the background and it's like four white dudes up front. Like that kind of thing, even though it's like, yay, ladies, it's still like, it's just everywhere. It's all the time, it's constant. Women are sex objects and men get to do stuff.
Like, I agree with you. And I think that it is a delicate issue that, like, has to be handled well. I think that choice of the song was too much direct hit with the nail. Like she had a Guns N' Roses t-shirt. She had, like, a whole bunch of different background for music stuff that she liked. And we didn't really get to experience that from her character as much. So, I don't... So, it was... Same with the use of Nirvana in the little flashback. I was like, okay, all right. And also, I'm Just a Girl, I don't think came out when she was still alive.
No, it came out later, but...
Yeah, so it didn't even like make sense for her own character. So what they did was they took a song that had female empowerment tones and put it in without the actual knowledge of the character.
But it had that grunge 90s feel. And it had the feeling, because she, the whole thing, the symbolism, the arc, is a story of female restriction and then empowerment. Like, the whole
it
story
is, yeah.
is.
That's the
subtext. That's because she was restricted with her little, digit thing on the back of her neck.
Mm-hmm.
That's women. That is what society is doing to women. And we are not realizing our own power until we do. And then we can be set free. And then we have our power. We have to take hold of our own power. And that's what the story was telling us.
Yeah.
It's all about this female empowerment. That's the whole movie. So when she takes that off, that's the perfect song. Because it's her saying, it's this little girl voice saying, I'm just a girl. Like, but it's all ironic. It's like,
yes.
Look at me now.
Why won't you let me be? But what I'm saying is that I get it, and I get the theme, and I love the theme. I think that because they chose that song, I think that they actually don't... It's almost like one step too far. Like, if they had not chosen that song, I may have seen it better. But I was like, when I saw that song came on, and I'm watching this really, like, ugh... action sequence.
As a woman growing up in that time period, that what that song did for my soul when I would hear it was just, it gave me the same feeling that watching on the media, like watching on the big screen, a woman main character beat up bad guys does. It's the same tone.
Well, I get it. I thought it was placating to a lower common denominator. I think that they could have done something higher brow and been more fitting for the character. And, like, because the time didn't match, the song didn't match to me. And I'm like, I'm watching and I'm like, this just doesn't fit. Like, it just didn't, it felt really out of place
for
me.
What wouldn't have fit was Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That would not have
fit. Oh, yeah. If they would put Cyndi Lauper in there, I would have walked out of the movie.
That would not have fit. This, I think, did. This... because it has the grunge, it matches the emotion, it has the rebellion, and it has that I'm a little girl in a box irony to it that she just broke free from.
It feels like they tried to do the Guardians of the Galaxy thing and put in pop music to make it a little bit more appealing to the people that are watching it.
That's the only time that music choice I liked. The rest of the times they put in pop music, I didn't like it.
Oh, the Come As You Are for Nirvana and the little. Yeah, I didn't think that. I didn't think that was good yet either. I thought that the use of pop music was actually pretty poorly done in this.
I did not. You need to go to class. I did not like it any time except for that one.
And did you catch the refugee like nod of all the stuff? I mean, yes, it's scrolls, but it's very much like a.
Yeah, they just want a place to go.
Yeah. So that worked.
The whole thing was very topical with like
the themes that they wanted to do. And honestly, like I'm not saying that it didn't achieve that goal at all. I think it did really well in the characterization to see her fall down and get back up all those times. I thought was a really good way of doing it. Also her last comment with Ju Law of like, I don't need to prove myself to you. No. Like I really love that. I thought that was really well done. I just like, like I said, that moment for me with the music, I thought kind of, but I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, I got to get to class, so this has been The Drive Home with Casey and Blair. Take care, all.